I'm going to encourage you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, of course, is the first book in the New Testament. We're preaching through the book of Matthew. We're taking the Beatitudes one at a time. Got up this morning, and there on my bedstand, beside my bed, was a Father's Day card that said, "To Dad," on it. And I opened it up and had a picture of a little cross-eyed girl on the front of it making a face. And then I opened it, I looked inside, and it said something like this: "Of all the people who exasperate me, I love you most, Esther." We do want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads who are here today. Happy Father's Day to everybody, moms and everybody. Have a happy day. I want to begin by speaking about, this Father's Day, looking at this passage by telling you a personal story. And then we'll actually look at the text. The conclusion of my sophomore year at the university was a bit of a turning point in my own life, personally. I was transferring from a branch campus in Bradford, Pennsylvania, to the main campus at Pittsburgh, and I knew no one there. And it wasn't even like I was transferring with all my buddies, because I really liked calculus. I loved calculus. I loved it so much I repeated some of the calculus. And that's what I was doing that summer. Was repeating some calculus that I didn't get the grade an engineer should get in it. So there I go to the University of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. I didn't move into a dorm. I moved into a house that a friend of mine had heard about, where a room was for rent. Lived there in that room by myself, and I knew no one in the city. No one. And it was a lonely time for me. It was a time where I had no email, because email wasn't invented yet. So I would write letters to Laurel. I had no telephone, because that room didn't come with a phone. Besides that, I didn't have the money to burn on long-distance tolls, which were a big issue back then. And so I couldn't talk to anybody at home. I went to church, but doesn't this happen to you? When you're accustomed to one church and you go somewhere else, you can just never find that same church again. You know, so I didn't even feel at home in the churches that I was in. And probably worst of all, I was not walking close to God. I was really struggling. I'd grown up in church all my life. I was there every time the doors were open. But I was not walking close to God at all. And I remember I did some things during that time that I'm not proud of at all. It was a real time of testing and transition in my spiritual life. Occasionally, in those lonely days in that apartment, taking one course at the university, I had a lot of free times in that room, I should say. Occasionally, I would tune in the Christian radio station. Don't know why. I never listened to Christian radio at home growing up. Mom would have it on sometimes, but that wasn't me. I never listened to it. But there I was, alone for the first time, and I would tune in to the Christian station that was there and try to listen to it. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. This was 1981. It was very difficult for me. Very difficult for me to listen to the Christian radio station, because I had and have to this day a rock and roll heart. Sorry, but I loved rock and roll music, and what they were playing there just wasn't cutting it for me. And I can remember, and by the way, that's why I'm so thankful for the variety in Christian music that there is today. I think that is from God for this generation, because I craved it when I was younger. God, speak to me in my language. And so I tuned into that, and it just wasn't working for me. So I tuned back to WDVE 102.5 with the Jimmy and Steve show in the morning, and I'd listen to that. And then a little bit later, I'd be back at that Christian station. And then I'd be back down at 102.5. And then back to the Christian station, and back to WDVE. And the reason for that is because I was hungry for something that wasn't on WDVE. I was starving for something that WDVE didn't understand, didn't have to offer. And I knew the Christian station probably had it. Finally, one day, I found what I was thirsting for there. I told you that summer was a transitional point in my Christian life. I was listening to that Christian station, and some preacher that I'd never heard of was preaching, and he was speaking about the thirst that I had in my heart. He called it a hunger and a thirst for right standing with God. He said that we all have, every human being has a hunger and a desire for a good relationship with his dad. with his earthly father. All of us have that. And I understood that because my relationship with my dad was kind of rocky off and on. And it was getting to a point in that transition time where I was really beginning to value my dad for who he was. And that relationship was pretty good. But then he went on to say that the hunger that we felt, that hunger was really a hunger for more than a good relationship with our earthly dad. It was a hunger for a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. That the reason that I was tuning down to the Christian station repeatedly was because I was hungry for a really good relationship, for right standing with my Heavenly Father. And I did not have a good relationship with God. I told you that I was struggling as a Christian. Struggling with what I'd learned and where I was going and what I was going to do. And as he spoke, I realized that this third-year engineering student really did long for right standing with God. A right relationship with him. And something inside me knew that things between God and me weren't right. And that was why I was so restless and so unhappy. And so on this Father's Day, I just want to share with you how I found a good relationship with my Heavenly Father. You're looking at Matthew chapter 5, right? Just one verse. It's verse 6. He says, blessed. Jesus is speaking. This is his Sermon on the Mount. These are his opening statements. He's saying, here's how to be happy. Here's how to be joyful. Here's how to make your life a good thing. He says, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, when Dr. Norris, our district superintendent, who we prayed for this morning, when he prays, he does something that not everyone else does. Have you heard him pray at Mahaffey Camp? Or when he was here at the event in our activity center when he spoke, did you hear him pray then? Or if he visited on a Sunday morning once. I don't know if you remember. I think I asked him to greet us then. I don't know if he prayed. But when Dr. Norris prays, he does something that kind of makes you go, what did he just say? He stands up and he goes, dear Dad. Dear Dad in heaven. We come before you as sons and daughters, children coming to their daddy. He does that frequently when he prays. Listen at Mahaffey Camp this year. And if he doesn't do that when he prays, I'll buy you a milkshake. Okay? It's just the way he prays. And one time a pastor came to me and says, does it kind of bother you the way Dr. Norris prays, the way he does that? And I said, no, not at all. Because the reason he prays that way is because when Jesus uses the word Abba, when he prays to the Father, Jesus isn't talking about some 70s pop group when he says Abba. He's using an Aramaic word, which has, and I love this, how one scholar depicts this. He says the word Abba has the love and the joy and the intimacy that the word daddy has without the sticky sweet over sentimentality. Do you understand? And so when Paul says that we by the Spirit cry, Abba, Father, he's saying it is by the Holy Spirit of God that you can have a good relationship with God the Father. That you can call him Dad, Dad in heaven. Wow, it's so good to know you and have a good relationship with you. When you read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled, you can understand that God wants you to know that if you desire right standing, righteousness with your dad in heaven, you can have it. It is available to you. You will be filled. Do you desire it? Do you hunger for things to be right between you and your dad, God, in heaven? Bruce Springsteen had a song 100 years ago. I asked a couple college students this past week, you guys know any Bruce Springsteen? They didn't know any, so it really tells you how old I'm getting. They said, oh, we know who he is. I said, name a song. They didn't know, you know. He has a song called Everybody Has a Hungry Heart. You remember that? Everybody's got a hungry heart. Sing along. No, I'm just kidding. Don't bother. Right. Listen to some of the words. He says, I got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride, and I never went back. I'm like a river that doesn't know where it's flowing. I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. And then he explains why the singer did this. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody wants something. They're looking for something. He goes on to another verse. He says, I met her in a Kingstown bar. We fell in love. I knew it had to end. We took what we had and we ripped it apart. Now here I am down in Kingstown again. Do you get what Springsteen is saying? He's a pretty good lyricist sometimes. What he is saying is that you have a hunger. Everybody has a hungry heart. They hunger for something inside them. And when they get it, they realize maybe that wasn't it. And they go back to Kingstown again, looking for it again. Because you have a hunger in your heart that is there. Pascal, the philosopher, says you have a God-shaped hole in you. You can fill it with whatever you want to. But until you fill it with that which it is shaped for, God Himself, you'll remain with a hungry heart. Huge problem is that that hunger shows up the wrong way over and over again. I've come to believe through years of speaking to people who found themselves in this situation that when someone cheats on their spouse, it's because they feel hungry for something else. So they're happily married or seemingly so, and they have a nice spouse. He or she seems like a good person. I can't imagine why it would be hard to be married to them or any harder than it is to be married to anyone else. And so what are they doing? But they have this hungry heart and they walk away from it. And the fact that they often walk away from the affair that they had because they realize it was empty, it shows them that their hunger was for something else. It wasn't for another man or another woman. They thought it was, but what they were really hungry for was something different. When people keep getting more stuff and stuff and stuff. Now, I told Vern Robinson, I said, Vern, now that you're retired, you and I should start rental units. You know those storage rental units? Because we live in a society, I don't really want to do that. It's just a pipe dream that Vern and I have. We talk about it from time to time, but we'll never do it. But we live in a society where people want to gobble up all the stuff they can have. You know, we ought to all have the bumper sticker says, he who dies with the most stuff wins. It's like a contest or something. But the fact that there is no end to our need to consume stuff shows us that that's not really satisfying our hunger. It's not really what we were hungry for. When you hear people bragging about things, you know, blowing their own horn, saying how you can see really what they're hungry for is approval or attention. But that approval, that attention never satisfies us as human beings because our hunger is really for something else. Springsteen says everyone has a hungry heart. I agree, but I believe that we all hunger after the wrong things. And ultimately, that hunger, what we hunger for, is to be loved by our Father, our Heavenly Father in heaven. And in order to have a loving relationship with us, in order for us to have a loving relationship with Him, something inside us needs to change. Now, you know, all of us know that we do bad things. That there are things in our life that are unrighteous. And we know that that kind of puts a wedge between us and God. You know, when we struggle with anger, you know, how many times have you put your hands on your hips and said, he makes me so mad, you know, and we want to blame him for making us mad. But I'll tell you what, if we're honest and if we peel away all the facade off of that statement and who we are, we will come to realize that the anger really isn't a problem with the people around us. It's a problem with our own temper. It's a problem with ourself. That's the problem. And if you're starting to see that, you're probably starting to understand that the righteousness, that what you really hunger for is a righteousness to get rid of that temper and have a right standing before God. When you struggle with addiction, and I got to tell you, a lot of people struggle with addiction. I read a statistic that said that over 50% of people sitting in pews on Sunday morning are addicted to pornography. That's sobering. Thank God that's those other churches and not ours. Amen. Wow. And you struggle with that. You say, man, I'm addicted to that stuff. If it just wasn't there, you know, and if my life was more satisfying somewhere else, then and we want to make the problem something external to us, something out there. But I'll tell you what, if you're to the point in your life where you're beginning to understand it's not about what's out there, it's about what's in here, then you're getting close to being able to have your hunger for righteousness and right standing with God filled. As long as you insist on thinking the problem's out there and refuse to acknowledge the problem is in here, the problem will never be addressed. Or guilt. You know, when you find yourself soaking, bathing, marinating in a pool of guilt, do you realize the real problem is sin? That the real problem is in your heart, that something in there needs corrected? When you get to that point, when you realize that, you're probably seeing that your thirst for freedom from guilt is a thirst for righteousness and right standing with God. See, the hungry heart that you and I have is ultimately a hunger for a righteous relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's why it's good news that verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, what prevents us from being filled? I mean, what keeps it so we're not filled with righteousness? I kind of want to give you three obstacles to being filled with righteousness. If you're taking notes, these all begin with the letter A. Not because I like to alliterate things. I'm a bad alliterator. The first A is this. This is an obstacle to being filled with righteousness, and it's awareness. A lot of us are just unaware that that's what we're hungry for. Some of us think, I'm hungry maybe for a different wife, or I'm hungry for maybe a different job, or a different community, or something like that. And we're just unaware. We fit very well with the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it says, "The god of this age," and that means Satan, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." A lot of us are just blind to that fact that what we need is a right relationship with God. It's ironic. We live in a world that is aware of all kinds of spiritism and spirituality and things like that. And yet, people are spiritually unaware of their need for God. Over and over again. You see lives that are pretty on the outside, but empty on the inside. Why? Because they're famished for a relationship with their Heavenly Father. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. But they don't know that that's what they're hungry and thirsty for. So if you want to be filled, if you want to have that hunger filled, then the first thing you need to become is aware that maybe that's your need. Okay, maybe this anxiety, maybe this angst, maybe this feeling of desire in my heart is for God and having a good relationship with Him. Not just knowing the Bible, not just being in church, but really having a living, dynamic relationship with God. Maybe that's it. Awareness. That's your hunger. The second A is attitude. Namely, having the wrong attitude. Some people hear this concept that their hunger is God. And I say, I don't know if that's it or not. Yeah. And Christians will do this. They'll say, you know, I've been going to church for a long time. Take it from someone who's been going to church for 46 years. You can be around church a lot and not have a right relationship with your Heavenly Father. You can even be a Christian and have a rift in your relationship with God. It happens. And as long as you have an attitude that says that's not the problem, that'll be an obstacle to your being filled with righteousness. Or if you're not a Christian, if you're like, yeah, I've been thinking about being a Christian, but I'm not, and I kind of like being here and learning about this, your attitude needs to be, I need God. I've got to have Him. I was reading an article about hummingbirds. I think hummingbirds are kind of cool, you know. They hum around. They can fly backwards. I think they're the only bird that can fly backwards. That's cool in and of itself, right? A lot of people have these hummingbird feeders. Have you seen them? Little red things with little yellow things on them. Hummingbirds are attracted to that. And they're filled with water that has sugar in it. There's some do's and don'ts on that. Number one, you're not supposed to use red food coloring. And I'm not sure why. I know it makes children hyper. Maybe the hummingbirds hum too fast if you do that. I don't know. It needs to have sugar in it, you know. Don't use honey. I think I know why not to use honey. Their poor little beaks would stick shut. What do you think? Could be it. Now, here's a no-brainer, and yet the article I read felt a need to put it in print. Do not use artificial sweetener. Yeah. Yeah, guess what happens if you do use artificial sweetener in a hummingbird feeder? They eat it. And they eat more of it. And they're hungry, so they eat more and more, and they're so hungry. And they're losing weight, and they're losing energy. And they eat more and more and more. And they gorge themselves on it and die of starvation because it has no calories in it. It has no energy. It's artificial sweetener. It's to help you with your waistline, not with your flying power. Right? I don't know who would do that. Why would anyone think that was a good idea? But I do know that a lot of people have that attitude toward their spirituality. That a lot of people have the attitude that we're all right feasting on the emptiness of life without feasting on the nutrient of who God is and plugging into Him. And we're denying a real hunger, our right standing before God, because we've propped artificial things into our life. You have to get rid of the attitude that says, I don't know if I need God, and you have to embrace that. So number one, become aware your hunger's for God. Number two, get rid of the attitude that says, I don't know if I need God or not. And number three, the third obstacle is one of acceptance. Acceptance. Every person that I know wants to do things for themselves. I love to do this it happens the other way around sometimes. My son and I have played games together since he was a little boy, you know. And sometimes I'll get to a part, I know it's hard for you to imagine, but I'll get to a point in a video game where I have trouble getting to the next level, you know. And Tim will come in, and he is such a good son. What a loving son I have. He'll come in and he'll say, Dad, do you want me to do that for you? I can get you to the next level, you know. And I say, no, I want to do it myself. What's wrong with your head? I want to do that myself. And occasionally I'll do that to him, but he's usually 10 levels ahead of me, so I couldn't do that at all. You understand? But we all have inside ourselves this desire to do it ourselves. Try this out next hunting season. When your buddy and you are going to get your hunting license together, say to him, why don't you give me your tag right now? You can stay home and I'll get your buck for you. No! I want to do it myself. We have a desire to do things ourselves, and generally that's a good thing. But when it comes to being filled with the righteousness of God, we really have no means whereby to accomplish that. We can make rules, but we can't follow them like we should. We can make resolutions, but we don't keep those the way we know we should. And we can make excuses, but we don't even believe them ourselves. And what we need is, and here's the acceptance, to accept the fact that the righteousness we need has got to come from God. And that is why He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. It's the whole point of Christianity. And it is what makes Christianity unique in all world religions. Only in Christianity did God make possible the means of your redemption by sacrificing Himself, His Son. Every other major world religion misses that point. You want righteousness? Go for it, man. Try to keep the resolutions. Try to keep the rules. Try to make the excuses, and you'll see that none of them work. The thing that works is Jesus dying on a cross for your sins. And until you accept that, you will have a major obstacle in having a good relationship with your Heavenly Father. And you will be hungry, and you won't know what you're hungry for, and you will never, ever be filled. Do you see your own hunger? I didn't think Tim was going to be here this morning, so I have an illustration about him. Didn't even ask his permission. I'm going to give it anyway, though. I thought he was going to be at Mahaffey. I'm in bad trouble. He's whispering to Esther, they're not going to give me anything for Father's Day today. There it is, yeah. When Tim was a little boy, he played basketball for a season or two. And I would try to go to all those games, every game that I could go to. And I didn't make all of them. And he didn't mind because he didn't start. And he was like, you don't have to go if you don't want to, Dad. Tim was always real flexible that way. But I can remember when I would be there and he would get to play. And he got the ball and he would shoot it. After the play was over, he would look at a place in the stands. Guess who was going to be in that place in the stands? Me and his mom. Yeah. Because we all have an innate desire for our Father to approve of us. I don't know if it was Sunday morning I told you this story or not, but I know I've told this story before. That I like, everybody likes getting pats on the back, right? Everybody likes that. I like that. And as a pastor, I've received some pats on the back through the years. I've received them from you. Pastor, that was a good sermon. Thank you. That feels kind of good to hear that. Feels very good to hear that. Leaders in the district. Oh, Steve, I listened to your sermon online and wow, that feels nice to hear that. I like that. Invitations to speak. Don't ask me why, but I got an invitation to speak at Mahaffey Camp this year during the Fresh Breeze service. Oh, gotta tell you, that feels pretty good. Yeah, I like that. That feels good. But the thing that felt best of all was the year when my father died. He came to Kerwinsville Alliance just a few months before he died unexpectedly of a heart attack. After we got home, Mom and Laura are putting together the meal. Dad and I are doing what guys do, you know, talking, wondering why our wives are taking so long with the meal. And out of the blue, he said, "You're a good preacher, Steve." Wow, that felt good. I did not know how hungry I was for that kind of acceptance and approval from my earthly father. We all are. But what you're really hungry for is that acceptance and approval from your heavenly father. That is what you really desire and really hunger for. And guess what the good news is? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The right standing that you need between you and God, your heavenly Father, is available because of Jesus' death for you. The most popular verse in the Bible. I miss that guy who used to, I'm old enough to remember the guy with the purple afro who stood in the end zone and hung up the sign, said John 3:16 in the NFL games. How many remember him? Yeah. I miss him. He's not there anymore as far as I know. John 3:16, the most well-known probably verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only Son, so whoever believes in him would not perish, but has everlasting life." What's everlasting life? It's not just about living forever. Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know you, God the Father, the one true God." If you feel like you don't have right standing with God, I don't care how long you've been coming to church, you feel like things aren't right between you and God, square it away today. Talk to him today. In fact, we're going to do that as we wrap up. Tell him you know that you've messed up. Tell him you believe that Jesus died to pay the price for your mess up. Tell him you want to walk close to him. You know, just a year after that summer in Pittsburgh, I was packing up a U-Haul trailer to head off to a little place called Bible College. God gave me that righteousness to follow him. Don't be afraid. I'm not saying you all become pastors. I don't want you all to become pastors. This church would be pretty empty if you did. Right? But when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. We're going to sing in just a minute. But before we do, I'd like us to pray. And if you would, let's stand together as we pray. Here's what God has for you this morning. The opportunity to have your hunger and thirst for righteousness filled by his very presence. And so, if you're sitting here today thinking, "Yeah, I could use that," then as we pray, I'm going to pray as though I was you. And if this prayer matches the desire of your heart, then in the silence of your heart, speak it to God. He will hear you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am so often distracted from what really, really is my longing. And I have filled my hunger with things of this world that I know have just about the substance of sugar-free water, of hummingbird food made with an artificial sweetener. It's not filling me up, God. The things of this world aren't filling me up. And it's come to my awareness that what I really need is you. I hunger and thirst for right standing with you. And so I accept the fact that my attitude of not wanting that or not looking for that has been wrong. I ask that you would forgive me for pursuing other things and even for resisting the drawing of your Holy Spirit to be filled with your righteousness. Forgive me for that, God. And I believe you can forgive me because I take by faith that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I don't understand the ins and outs of that. I know I never can because I don't have as many smarts as you do, God. But by faith, I believe Jesus paid it all. And so I could be forgiven. That the punishment that brought me peace was upon him, and by his wounds, spiritually speaking, I am healed. And I accept that forgiveness. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I accept your righteousness as though it were my own. If righteousness were a cloak, Lord Jesus, as you extend yours to me, I would take off my sinful cloak and I would wrap myself in yours. And I would come before you, God my Father, Dad. And I would say thank you for accepting me and approving of me and loving me. In Christ's name. God, as we're gathered here, anyone who prayed that kind of prayer this morning, I trust you to fill them with a sense of your righteousness. And fill them with a sense that between you and them there remains no problem. And help them to walk from here, so to speak, as new creatures, with new relationships, as forgiven people. Help them to see your presence in their life. And help them when unrighteous opportunity comes up, help them to know, I'm not hungry for that. I'm hungry for you, God. And may they turn from sin and follow you with all their hearts. You are our vision. You are the desire that we have. And so we ask you to make it so. In Christ's name. Amen.